Sech tainis daf yudam aleph toisus to maschil kri bei chash sharas. According to other gersos pointed out in the Ozohar edition, the ches should be switched for a hey because sometimes those letters are interchangeable. Should be hach sharas. Gemara analyzing the machlokes between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer as to whether rain comes from the mayim leyonim, which is the view of Rabbi Yeshua, or rain comes from the akionos, from the oceans, which is the view of Rabbi Eliezer. So they quote various psukim to support each side. And the Gemara asks, the Bishlama, according to Rishua, that it comes from Mayim Leyonim, and we understand why the waters are not salty. But if we follow Rabbi Eliezer's view that it comes from the waters of the oceans and the salty lakes, so the waters should be salty, to which Rabbi Eliezer says, Mimatken hein ba'oven, that they get literally sweet in the clouds. We noted earlier that the machlokas could be a matter of scientific fact, or perhaps is really a debate in something more mystical. But from the perspective of current science, so the salt does not get evaporated, only the water gets evaporated. But either way, the perception is that they are sweetened with the clouds. So the Gemara now on Yoram and Aleph asks what pasuk indicates that the clouds somehow affect the water, that the water coming down is not salty. Menale, so Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef in the name of Rabbi Yochanan is quoted by a Gemara, who quotes the two parallel psukim in the Shiras David, the famous song that David HaMelech sang toward the end of his life, one version of which appears in Shmuel and the other version of which appears in Tehillim. So in the version that appears in Tehillim, Pasuk reads, Yoshes Choshech Sisro Sivosav Sukoso Cheshchas Chmayim Avei Shchakim. Literally, the darkness of water, the thickness of the sky or the clouds in the sky. And in the parallel Pasuk, in Shmuel, it says, "Vayoshes choshech svivosav sukos chashras mayim aveish chakim." Not cheshchas mayim, but chashras mayim. So, in order to resolve this seeming contradiction between the psukim, we merge the words together in the language of the Gemara: "Shkol kaf v'shadi areish v'kari bay chach sharas," or "hach sharas," according to the other Gersa. Thus explains this Gemara. Pirish hatela kaf min Cheshchas, you take the chaf from the word cheshchas, with chaf, the unique letter there that doesn't appear in the other version of chashras, vishadi, and you throw it im chashras, into the word of chashras. The Bach explains the reason why the Gemara calls that shadi aresh, rather than shadi ashin, because of putting the chaf before the shin, not before the resh, is because the shin is a letter that appears in both versions. Cheshchas has a shin and chashras has a shin. So we want to focus on the unique letters. That you take the chaf, the unique letter from the version of Tehillim of cheshchas, vishadi im chashras, and you connect it to the word chashras of Tehillim, which the Gemara calls shadi aresh, because that has a resh in it, but you're really putting it before the shin. And then v'yia, tos continue, spells out in a composite way, chach sharas. Kiloma, meaning Shamayim ba'ananim miskashrim chach sharas, or according to the other girsa, hach sharas, from the language of becoming kosher, or becoming fit. Shamayim ba'ananim, the water in the clouds become fit. Shehanonim shosim, because the clouds drink. Lebesof heim mimatkim ba'ovim. In the end, they become sweet in the clouds, meaning that the salt doesn't come down. So here in the Ozohar, they quote a somewhat different girsa that makes the Tosafot read more smoothly. Starting from the word Sha'anonim. Sha'anonim shosim osam, that the clouds drink them, meaning they drink the water. Adding in the word osam. And then yet in the Vav, ulebesof heim mitmatkim ba'ovim. And in the end, they become sweet in the clouds. Using the hitpael of mitmatkim, meaning they become sweet, as opposed to what we have in our version, mimatkim, which would mean to make sweet, which doesn't fit as well, because we're talking about the water becoming sweet, not the water making sweet. Tosis just acts in a Rashi-like way, explaining how the letters are combined, and that the ultimate composite word has something to do with the word mitkasher, to become fit, meaning without salt, and therefore ro'oi to drink and ro'oi to irrigate the crops. The Gemara had quoted the difference between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, that Eretz Yisrael needs a lot of rain, Bavel is a moister area, and therefore one is even able to plow without rain. And then the Gemara quotes the statement of Abaye, Nikatinan tovani velo yovshani. So Tosfos explains what Abaye means is as follows. Pirish, mutav lios be'eretz shehi lacho. It is better to be in a land that is moist, such as Bavel, miki shehi yevesha, than being in a land that's dry, because then one would have to be more dependent on rain. Interestingly, the Torah itself testifies that in Eretz Yisrael, Imtara Shamayim, Tishtamayim, that you have to depend on HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the rain, because Eretz Yisrael is a drier land. Unlike in Mitzrayim, where the Nile floods the fields, and therefore one doesn't need so much rain. So that's a positive, because we're constantly having to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So by a statement at first glance, seems somewhat unusual. Isn't it better to live in a land that's dry, so we'll constantly have to pray for rain from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So it could be a bias talking from a natural perspective, meaning all things being equal, just in terms of the Gashmiya side of things, the physical side of things, it would be better to live in a moist land. But from the Ruchni side of things, obviously, it's better to be dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and hence we enhance our relationship with Him with asking. It's interesting that Rashi gives a different shot from Tosfos. For Tosfos, Abaye is editorializing about which is a better land to live in. According to Rashi, Abaye is merely commenting on Bavel's state. Rashi comments, the Tovani, v'lo yovshani, the Tovani, hi mokam mitzula rakak, that Bavel is a place of low down and muddy, meaning having moisture to it. V'lo yovshani, she'ani yevesha. Abaye is not telling you where a better place to live is, but trying to describe the quality of Bavel. The Gemara had a debate in Bavel where we start asking for rain from 60 days after Tkufas Tishrei, corresponding to the night after December 4th, the night after December 5th in our calendar, depending on whether it's a leap year before that year. So the Gemara had a machlokas whether the 60th day after the Tkufa, is that the day that you start asking for rain, meaning Kala'achar Shishim, or is that the last day that you don't ask for rain, meaning Kilifnei Shishim, that's like before the 60 days. So the Gemara Paskins, and that's Tosfos Maschil, Hilchas Yom Shishim Kala'achar Shishim, that the 60th day after the Tkufa is like after the 60 days, meaning you already started asking for rain then, and that's what Tosfos concludes, V'chein Amad Davar, and that is the common practice, literally, that is the people of the outside, meaning that's what everyone does, Yom Tkufa Maschil. And the day of the Tkufa, here Tosfos presumably means the day that's 60 days after the Tkufa, Maschil, and we begin asking for the same Talmud Mutar, and of course that is our practice as well. The Gemara, in the context of Rav Huna's statement that the Yechidim, the great Talmid HaChamim, will start fasting earlier than everyone else on Yud Zayin B'Mecheshvan if there's no rain, so they fast on Monday, Thursday, Monday, and they don't start on a Thursday. So the Gemara records that there's a Mishnah later on the Tesam Abayis that already said that we do not go through a Tainus on Thursday at first. We always do Monday, Thursday, Monday, rather than Thursday, Monday, Thursday, because Shalolav Ki Ashorim, not to jack up the prices. So why should the individual fasters of the Talmid HaChamim be different? So the Gemara explains, we might think that the jacking up of the prices is only relevant for Tainus Sibor, where we've been going through the Sibor. But for individuals, just the Yechidim, the Talmid HaChamim, it's not going to cause a jacking up of the prices. So Tosfos just explains, as does Rashi, exactly how the jacking up of the prices work. Pirish, Tosfos writes, Shal Yidei She'asavat Sibor Tainus, since the community is fasting, Yiknu Mazon Shal Chamishi V'Shal Shabbos, so they're going to buy meals both for the breaking of the fast on the night after Thursday, meaning Thursday night, V'Shal Shabbos, and they're also going to buy meals for Shabbos, so they're going to buy a ton of food for big meals, more than the regular Shabbos, because they're also buying for a big meal after the fast day. V'chesvurim ha'am, and the nation will think, yokeri, that some kind of mad rush on food because a shortage is coming. Yokeri, that food is yakar, that it's rare, or it's becoming rarer. V'yafkiu ha'sha'orim, and then the prices will go up based on the laws of supply and demand. So that's going to cause a jacking up of the prices. In order to prevent that, we start the fasting earlier. So already they start buying food on Monday, from Monday night, and then everyone gets a chance to realize that the reason people are buying more food is because of the fasting and not because of some dearth of food that appears in the world. Masechta Tainus, Daf Yud Amud Beis. The Bach omits the next two words, so we'll skip them as well. The Gemara had quoted a brisa that a yachid, who was mentioned by our Mishnah, that the yachidim start fasting from the 17th of Marcheshvin, when there's no rain. So there's a category of people called a yachid. And there's also a category of people who are less than a yachid, namely a talmid. So even though there's a brisa that's quoted that all talmidim are able to consider themselves yachidim with respect to the laws of fasting, and that issue very well might be debated by other Tanoim, the different Gersos and the Gemara coming up, which I'm not going to go into now. But there clearly are differences between Yechidim and Talmidim, otherwise it wouldn't be called different titles. So the Gemara quotes a Braisa, and that is Tosis is Divya Maschil. Ezehu Yechid, Kol Sheroi Lemanoso Parnas al Tzibor, someone who is appropriate to appoint as a leader over the community. Talmid, who is considered a Talmid. The language of the Gemara we have is Kol Shesholan Oso Dvar Halacha Bili Mudo VeOmer VeAfilu VeMasechta Kala, which would translate as anyone whom you ask something concerning what they are learning, even if it's Masechta Kala, so that's a Talmud. Tosis and the Divrei Maschil imply that they had a slightly different girsa, as we shall see. If they had our girsa, then they wouldn't have had the kasha that they have. So Tosis's girsa is, as we see in the second line of the Divrei Maschil, Ve'ezeh Talmud Kol Sheshoalin Oso. Tosis doesn't seem to have the word Oso, but Kol Sheshoalin Dvar Halacha Bechol Makom Bechule, seemingly substituting the words Bechol Makom in Tosis's girsa for our girsa and our Gemara of Bilimudo. So that would simply translate as anyone that you ask any Dvar Halacha, not just what they're learning, but in Kol Tarkula, and he's able to answer even in Masechta Kala. The exact usage of Masechta Kala we'll explain as we read through the Tosfos. So now Tosfos has a kasha, because these concepts of Parnosim and Talmidim are mentioned in two other Gemaras, as pointed out on the margin, Shavis Daf Kuf Yud Alamid Aleph and Kiddushin Daf Mem Testament Beis. So Tosfos quotes one of those Gemaras, Masechta Shavis, and the formulations there seem to not exactly correspond to what our Gemara says about Yechidim and Talmidim. So, Tos begin. Vekasha is difficult. The Hacha Mashma the Kari Talmud also Sheyodei Lahashiv Kishashoran Lo Dvar Alacha Bechol Makom V'Omra. Here, the implication is that it calls a Talmud someone who knows how to respond when they ask him any Dvar Alacha, anywhere. Again, Tos is implied that they didn't have the Gersa Bili Mudo. V'Omra, and he's able to answer correctly. Awesome, Ramina Masechta Shabbos, and over there we say Masechta Shabbos Perek Ve'eluk Shorim in the 15th Perek, Daf Kuf Yud Alamed Aleph. Ezo Talmid Haroi Lemanoso Parnas Al Tzibur. Who is a student who is appropriate to appoint as a leader over the community? Kishe Yodei Lahashiv, when he knows how to respond. Kol Shesholin, the Bach is in the word Oso. Kol Shesholin Oso Dvar Halacha. Afilo Masechta Kala. And we ask him a Dvar Halacha, even a Masechta Kala. So that sounds like that we're asking him from Kol Tarkula, and he's able to answer. And Tos continue, Alma, this implies, Haro'i Lemanoso Parnas Al Tzibur, one who is appropriate to appoint as a leader of the community. Havi is Kishe Yodea Lahashiv, when he knows how to respond about Kol Tarkula. But over here in our Gemara and Tainis Mashma, the Oso Haro'i Lemanoso Parnas, Havi Mil Sachriti, that the one who is appropriate to appoint over the community is some other matter. To explain a little better, our Gemara says that a Talmud, according to Tosis's original understanding of our Gemara, is someone who knows how to answer questions on Kol HaTarakula. Again, the quote from the Braisa, according to Tosis Girsa, who is a Talmud? Kol Sheshoalan Oso Dvar Halacha Bechol Makom VeOmer VeAfilu B'Masechta Kala. Sounds like he knows everything. But the earlier part of the Braisa said, and who is a Yochid? Kol Sheroi Lemanoso Parnas Al Tzibur. The definition of a Yochid is someone who is appropriate to appoint on the Tzibur. Now, clearly the Yochid is not the Talmud, and the Talmud is not the Yochid. The Talmud seems to know Kol Tarkula, and the Yochid seems to have some kind of additional qualities that enables him to be appointed a Parnas Al Tzibur more than knowing Kol Tarkula. Indeed, just as an aside, this is not the way Tosfos is going to go, but the Meiri explains that someone who's being appointed as a parnas on the Tzibur has to have qualities besides knowing Kol HaTarkula, has to have leadership quality. But Tosfos is not going that route, and Tosfos is asking that our Gemara implies that besides learning, you have to have something else in order to be appointed as a parnas on the Tzibur. And the Gemara in Shavis implies that Who is a Talmud? Ezo Talmud Haroi Lemonoso Parasat Sibor. Who is such a Talmud? When he knows Kol Tarkule, he's able to respond. Kishyodei Lahashiv, Kol Shishalan Oso Dvar Alacha, if you know Masech Tekala. So in sum, the Gemara in Shabbos implies that the sole criterion for being appointed a Parasat Sibor is someone who knows Kol Tarkule. And our Gemara implies that knowing Kol Tarkule is called a Talmud, a Yachid, who's appropriate to appoint as a Parnasal Tzibur, is something beyond that. The language of Tosfos, Ocha Mashma, the Osa Royal and Osa Parnas, Havi Mil Sachriti, that's something else besides knowing Kol Tarkula. Now Tosfos has a second, but related kasha. Oh, and furthermore, the Ocha Mashma, the Yachid Adif. Here the implication is that a Yachid is better than a Talmud. Me the Ka'amar B'samuch, from the fact that it says nearby, Lo Kol Harotza Lasos Asmo Yachid, Osa. Avol Harotza Lasos Asmo Talmud, Osa. That not everyone who wants to make himself into a yachid, meaning to follow the stringencies or the other practices of a yachid, can do so. Regular people are not allowed to do that. Aval harotza lasis asmi talmud, but one who wants to take on the particular practices of a talmud, osa is allowed to. Now, before we explain Tosfos kasha, let us note that Tosfos is taking sides on various girsos that we have, as noted by Rashi, that there are different girsos here. So Tosfos' understanding of one of the brises that's quoted here, which starts on line 7, is Tan Rabbanan, Lo kol harotza lasas atzmo yachid ose. Not everyone who wants to make himself like a yachid, meaning like a super Talmud Chacham, is allowed to do that. And then we have Talmud ose, Divrei Rabbi Meir. So Tosfos understands that girsa to mean, and he might have had somewhat different words, but boils down to the same thing, that he reads Talmud ose to mean that someone is able, even a regular person, to make himself like a Talmud and adopt his various practices. Rashi says the practice of a Talmud is to wear special clothing and have special conduct in terms of his bed and his head covering. So it sounds like Tosfos that you have the ability to make yourself into a Talmud even if you are not. But you can't make yourself into a Yochid. Rashi quotes another girsa, that the Talmidim themselves are able to make themselves like Yechid, at least with respect to fasting. They could fast from Shiva Asar B'Macheshvan. So, again, according to Tosfos' Girsa, that anyone can make himself like a Talmud, but not everyone can make himself like a Yochid. So it's clear that a Yochid is on a higher level than a Talmud. Now, putting everything together, our Gemara says that a Yochid is someone who is appropriate to appoint as a Parnas on the Tzibur. But, according to Tosfos' understanding as of now, the quality that enables you to be a Parnas on the Tzibur, as recorded in the Gemara in Shabbos, is someone who knows Kol Tarkula. So it sounds like that's the Yochid. But our Gemara says that a Talmud knows Kol Tarkula. So according to that, a Talmud has the exact same qualities as a Yochid, namely someone who is appropriate to be appointed as a Parnas on the Tzibur. So our Gemara implies that there's a Yochid on the one hand and a Talmud on the other hand, and that the Yochid is on a higher level than the Talmud. And the Gemara in Shabbos implies that they seem to be the same entity. They both have to know Kol Tarkula, and they're both appropriate to appoint as a Parnasal Tzibur, and it sounds like that they're not distinct from each other. So Tosfos answer both kashas as follows. Yesh lomar. Yesh chilek b'talmud. There is a distinction concerning a Talmud. The dafka kisha rav bo el mokam echad, when a rav comes to a certain place. V'chol ha-talmidim etzlo, and all the students join him. Zeh shoal al rav mimasha ulomei. This one asks the rav from where he's learning. And this one asked the Rav from another place that other student is learning. But also Rav, and that particular Rav in question, he's able to answer all the students, each one according to his question. Which is the usage of the Gemara in Shabbos. Zehu Yochid, the other Talmud Hacha, who was greater than the Talmud of our Gemara. V'nikra Talmud Hossam B'ferek Eluk Shorim. And when the Gemara in Shabbos said that Ezehu Talmud Haroi Lemanoso Parnasal Atzibur, that's not referring to the Talmud of our Gemara. That's referring to a very unique Talmud, what Tosfos in his presentation now calls a Rav, who knows how to answer B'kol Torah Kula. But Tosfos continue, Oso, such a person, Vadai Roi Lemanoso Parnasal Atzibur. But someone who only knows how to respond in the Masech that he's currently learning, Nikra Gamkein Talmud, he's called the Talmud as well, in our Gemara, not by the Gemara in Shabbos, Umizeh Mayri Hacha. And such a person our Gemara is referring to when using the term Talmud. So in sum, What Tosfos' answer is that the Yachid of our Gemara and the Talmud of the Gemara in Shabbos, that's the same quality of person. And what is that quality of person that is able to answer B'kol Tarkula? The Talmud of our Gemara is only able to answer in his own Masechta. And presumably Tosfos would interpret the words B'chol Makom that he has in here's Girsa, not that the Talmud is able to respond in Kol Tarkula at any given moment, but B'chol Makom, at any given moment when he's learning a certain Masechta, he's able to answer B'chol Makom on that particular place that he is currently learning about. So how does this answer the Kashas? So Kasha number one was our Gemara implies that a basic Talmud knows Kol Tarkula and he's able to answer questions and everything. And a Yachid, who is able to be appointed Parnas al Tzibur, must have some extra qualities. But yet the Gemara in Shabbos implies that knowing Kol Tarkula is the sole criterion for being appointed Parnas al Tzibur. So Tosfos' answer is, we misread our Gemara. That the Talmud of our Gemara is not Kol Shishol Anoso Dvar Alocha V'Omer V'Afilo Masechta Kala, meaning any Dvar Alocha anywhere, but rather a Dvar Alocha that's relevant to what he's learning. In other words, even though Tosfos didn't have our Girsa of Bilimudo, but it means Bilimudo. Again, had Tosfos had our Girsa of Bilimudo, then he wouldn't have had his Kasha. But in the end, Tosfos is interpreting our Gemara to mean as if it wrote Bilimudo, meaning the Masechta that he's learning. A basic Talmud knows how to respond about the Masechta he's learning. A super duper Talmud Chacham knows how to respond and call Tarkula. And that's what the Gemara and Shabbos meant by saying that Ezo Talmud who can be appointed as a Tzibur, someone is able to answer anybody. And that's what our Gemara meant, that Kol Sharoi Lamanoso Parnas al Tzibur, meaning that anyone who is appropriate to appoint him as a leader of the whole community, he's a Yachid. And what qualities does that person have to have? Spelled out by the Gemara on Shabbos, that he has to be able to answer B'kol Tarkula. The second kasha that Tosfos had, that our Gemara implies by pointing out that ordinary individuals are not allowed to take on the practices of a Yachid, but they are allowed to take on the practices of a Talmud, implying that a Yachid is one thing and a Talmud is another, but yet the Gemara on Shabbos implies that a Talmud who is appropriate to be appointed Parnas al Tzibur, someone who knows B'kol Tarkula, so it sounds like that person is called the Talmud, and there's no separate category of Yochid. That's also answered by this approach of Tosfos, namely that the word Talmud is being used in different ways in the different places. The Talmud of Masechta Shabbos is what our Gemara calls a Yochid, someone who knows called Tarkula. The Talmud of our Gemara Tainis is distinct from a Yochid and only knows how to answer in his own Masechta. Mefarshim explain, just to explain a little better, the language of Vafilu Masechta Kala, and they point out that Rashi in the different Gemaras, one in Shabbos and one in Kiddushin, explains them differently depending on the context. So it goes as follows, that our Gemara, that according to Tosfos' conclusion, is referring to someone is appropriate to have the title Talmud if he knows what he's learning and he's able to answer on what he's learning. Vafilu Masechta Kala. Even the Masechta Kala, which is a collection of brisos printed at the end of Masechta Avodah Zarah, which is primarily Agada and relatively simpler material. So even though it's easy material, he's able to respond about that which he's learning, even if it's an easier section, he already is zocheh to the title of Talmud. The Gemara in Shabbos, that says that who is the Talmud, which Tosfos explained really is what our Gemara calls a Yachid, who is appropriate to be appointed as a Parnas al Tzibur when he knows Kol Tarkula Vafilu B'Masechta Kala. So that means even Masechta Kala, which not too many people learn, that he knows Kol Tarkula, he knows the standard Yeshivish Masechtas, Bab Metzia, Bab Basra, Bab Kama, and Kiddushin, and Gittin, plus he knows Seder Moed, and Kochim, and Taris, and he knows all of Shas, he's able to answer Divrei Halacha and all of Shas, and he even knows Masechta Kala, which as Rashi points out in one of those places, is not so widely studied, so he even knows that. Like Rav Chaim Kanievsky, another Gedol Yisrael, who Bekiyim, and Kol Chadri Atar. So even though Tosfos doesn't quite elaborate on this, but that's what Mefarshim point out, that presumably, based on Tosfos' interpretation, the Afila Masechta Kala will mean different things, depending on whether we're talking about what our Gemara labels as a Talmud, and what the Gemara in Shabbos calls a Talmud, which Tosfos points out is really our Gemara's Yochid, that they mean different things in a different context. The Gemara quotes a braisa, the one who travels from a place that had declared a Taina Sibur to a place where they did not declare that Taina Sibur. So he has to complete the Tainus, even though he's currently in a place where they're not fasting. And the Gemara points out the opposite as well, that if he starts out in a place where they're not fasting, and then he goes to a place where they are fasting, then he has to fast there as well. So, in commenting on that which is really the safe of the Braisa, that one who goes from a place where they're fasting to a place that they're not fasting, that they have to complete the fast. So, Tosis comment, Loshna daiter lachzar, Loshna ein dator lachzar. Ho, the kibla lavatainis. It doesn't matter whether he intends to return. That's to give the example that he started out in place A and he travels to place B. In place A, they're fasting. In place B, they're not fasting. So it doesn't matter whether he intends to return from place B to place A. That's Loshna Daita Lachzar and Loshna Ein Daita Lachzar. It doesn't matter whether he plans to permanently reside in place B and no longer return to place A. And why does he have to continue fasting? Ho v'kibol lavatainis, since he accepted upon himself to fast. So the Achronim, I saw in the Karban Nisanel, that is referenced in the Oz Vada Gemaris, as well as the Bach, which is also referenced there, that what Tosis mean is as follows, and this is in contradistinction to the way the Rush interprets this Gemara, but ultimately they would all agree to each other. And that is as follows. There is a Mishnah and a Sugim Psochim in Andaf Nun concerning Malkum Shenogu, that when you have Minhagim in different places, so the Minhagim of place A are different from the Minhagim of place B and vice versa. So someone from place A who travels to place B, if he plans to permanently reside in place B, so then he could drop all the Minhagim from place A and he is then bound by the Minhagim of place B. If on the other hand, he is only visiting place B, so then Lechumra, in the stringent side in both ways, he is bound by the old Minhagim of place A where he resides and the new Minhagim of place B where he is visiting. The reason that is Mipnei HaMachlokis, that he shouldn't cause fights. That's why some distinguish between public and private demonstrations of the Minhagim of place B. But basically, at least in a public arena, he is bound by the Minhagim of place B as well, which is called Chumrei HaMakom SheYotze Misham and Chumrei HaMakom SheHolach Lesham, the stringencies of both the place he left and the place he went to. So simply speaking, our Gemara, where you have fasting in place A and no fasting in place B, it should depend on whether he intends to permanently reside in place B. If he intends to permanently set up residence there, then he should no longer be bound by the fast days of place A. But if on the other hand he's only visiting, so then we can understand fully our Gemara why he is bound by the Minhagim of both. And in this case, if they're fasting in place A, even though he's visiting place B where they are not fasting, he should have to fast. So that indeed is what the Rush says, that if you're only visiting, so then you have to fast. We're taking the chumras of both. And if they're fasting in place A where you reside and intend to return to, you have to keep fasting in place B. And the same vice versa, if you're only visiting place B where they're fasting and in place A they're not, so then you have to fast there as well. But Tosfos, who say lo shana, it doesn't matter that if you're going from place A that fasts to place B that doesn't fast. So it doesn't matter whether you're visiting place B, you have to keep fasting the fasts of place A, or whether you intend to permanently reside in place B, you also have to keep the fast days of place A. So that at first glance is difficult, because that's against the Gemara Psachim, that if you take up a new residence in a new place, then you're only bound by the new places Minhagim and not the old places Minhagim. So that's what the Karban Nisanel and the Bach explain, that Tosis added a line to explain themselves, Hoel v'kibel alav atainis. That we're talking about a case not where he just relied on the communal Kabbalah Satzibur that they accepted the Tainis. If it would just be the communal Kabbalah Satzibur, so then he wouldn't be bound by that Kabbalah once he moves permanently to place B, namely what Tosis called Ein Dat Olavza. But since we're talking about a case for Kibbel Lavatainis, that individually he accepted the fasting, so then, even though he permanently is residing in place B where they hadn't declared that fast, he is still bound by those fasts. According to that analysis, Tosis and the Rush are not necessarily disagreeing. Tosis is talking about where you individually accepted those fasts and therefore you're bound by them regardless of where you live, at least for that year. And the Rush is talking about where it was just a communal Kabbalah, you didn't specifically accept it, and therefore the only time you'd be bound by that, if you're only visiting another place that's not fasting, and then you have to keep up the fasts of your old place. But if you permanently move there, then you are no longer bound by the fasts of the old place. Gemara quotes in the context of someone who is in another place where they declared a fast, and in his old place of residence they didn't have a fast, and by mistake the person breaks his fast, so he shouldn't continue to eat, or at least he shouldn't continue to eat in public, different to Shitot in the Mefarshim on this. So that idea of not publicly demonstrating that you could eat is something that we learn from Yaakov Avinu, Parshas Vayeshev, where when he's sending his children down to get food from Mitzrayim, he tells his children, Rayomi Akalavon of Lama Tisro. And Gemara quotes that he's telling his children, don't show yourselves before the children of Esav and Yishmael, who are subject to the famine, and even though you have food, they shouldn't be jealous of you. So there, Lamed Tisro is being used by the Brisa to show, don't demonstrate that you're eating and they're not. So Tosis first elaborate in terms of what our Gemara states, and then quote an alternate shot. Lamed Tisro, Kemo Shemefaresh, as the Brisa explains, Al Taro Atzmechem Bifnei Bnei Esav V'chule. Right? Tisro, from the language of, don't show yourself. The hifil of Ro'eh, and here the hitfail. Don't have yourself displayed before the Bnei Esav and the Bnei Yishmael V'chule. So now Tos just comment that there's an alternate pshat in the Medrash. V'yesh v'medrash lama tisro, pirish meaning lama tiyuk chushin. Why should you be emaciated and gaunt? And v'fi pshuto, that when there's a ra'av and there's a famine, so why should we starve and you'll get skinnier and skinnier? You go down to get food. So they point out on the margin of the Ozvara Gemara that Rashi quotes this as an alternate pshat as well, after quoting the first pshat as quoted by the Brisa on our Gemara, Derech HaMedrash, that the word tisro can mean weak, and then Rashi quotes from a certain pasuk in Tanakh that it has that meaning. Tov Maschil al tirgzu b'dorech. Inyan la'inyan, once we're already talking about the story of Yaakov and his sons and the famine and going down to Yosef, known originally as Safnas Paneach, and then eventually Yosef revealing himself to the brothers, he sends them back with tons of food and instructing them to bring down Yaakov to Mitzrayim. So he tells them, al tirgzu b'dorech. So the Gemara quotes the famous drasha, in the name of Rabbi Lazar, that he told him that don't occupy yourself with dvar halacha, because maybe you'll get lost in the way. Shematirgzu aleichem aderech, you're going to wander. And the Gemara concludes that there's a distinction between iyun study and bekiya study. That iyun you shouldn't do on the road, because then you'll get preoccupied and you're not going to look at your ways. And bekiya study, which certainly one should continue learning, mekayim the pasuk of aleichem aderech. So Tosis quote that there's an alternate medrash that al tirgzu b'derech, which our Gemara interprets to mean don't learn, which the Gemara concludes to mean don't learn be'iyun. Tosis brings from another medrash, v'yesh medrash al tafsiku midvar halacha. Don't stop yourself in dvar halacha. Presumably al tirgzu b'derech, don't cause divine wrath by stopping to learn. As the Gemara quoted a similar teaching concerning a fire, that if someone doesn't learn on the road, that chalila, a fire could burn them up, as we're going to see a little more about that in the next Tosis. So the Mefarshim note that there's not necessarily a contradiction between these two interpretations. Agamara says al tirgzu b'derech, which means don't learn on the road, is talking about iyun. And the other medrash that Tosas quote that states that you should not stop learning on the road, that's talking about bekiyas learning, light learning. Taisim maslam and b'neim de v'torah ruim lisarev t'chsev v'hi heim aholchem haloch v'daber v'gomer taim adika dibor v'chulei. So the Gemara quotes the famous episode of Elio and his student Elisha, that they're walking on the road and they're talking to each other, and suddenly a fiery chariot with horses of fire separate between them, and Eliyahu Navi enters the chariot and flies up to heaven alive. So the Gemara darshins that there was fire here, and it would have been appropriate for them to have gotten burned by that fire, and the only reason they weren't burned by that fire is because Halach v'daber, because they were constantly learning. And that's what the Gemara points out, that that must have been a bekiyas kind of learning, because to learn be'iyun is not appropriate for the road, as we learned from al tirgzu b'derech. So Tosis quotes an alternate version from a different medrash, because our Gemara has it, that they weren't burned up in discuss of the fact they were learning. Yesh medrash, but there's an alternate medrash, she'aim ha'yum edabim dvarim b'teilim, that they were talking about stam conversation, not the Retorah. Umashim hachi ruin lisarif. And because of that, they were appropriate to be burned up. But with a special schus, I guess, of their tremendous masim tovim, both Elio and Elisha, that they weren't burned up. This medrash is somewhat curious to imagine that Elio and Navi, the fiery Elio, fiery even in his lifetime on this world, and Elisha, the famous tzaddik, his student, famous Navi, would be talking about Dvarim B'Teilim. So, interestingly, in the Ozvah Hadar, they're always cross-referenced to what Tosis is referring to when he quotes some other source or other medrash, so here they're silent. So, not familiar with this medrash, somewhat of a difficult medrash to be makabel. Tosis Maschil Psiagasa Notelas Achas Michomish Meas Mimor Einov Shel Adam. Gemara records an alternate interpretation of Al Tirgzu B'Derech, not to take giant steps on the road. And the Gemara quotes a previously stated statement, Amar Mar, that Psiagasa Notelas Achas Michomish Meas Mimor Einov Shel Adam. Taking big steps removes a 500th, literally, of the illumination of the eyes of a person, meaning it lessens their acuteness of vision. So Tosis has the following kasha of Ein L'Hakshos. One should not ask, meaning, if you have this kasha, we have a teretz for it, Im kein, b'chamesh meos psios gasos, yenital kol moreinav shel adam. If each giant step takes away 1/500 of the vision, so taking 500 giant steps would make someone chalila blind. So Tosfos continue, v'kachazin and delav achiyava. But we see that it's not true. People have taken more than 500 giant steps, or running, etc., and they still see. So Tosfos gives an answer. He challenges that answer, gives another answer, and then resolves the original answer. V'nir lafarish, de'apsiya rishona notel achas mechamesh meos. The first step takes away 1/500 of the current vision. V'apsiya shniya notel pachas min rishona. And the second giant step takes away less than the first one, because sheshniya eino notelas el echad mechamesh meos hanisharim. It only takes 1/500 of the remaining vision. And then so on and so forth. The third step will take away 1/500 of the remaining. The fourth step will take away 1/500 of the remaining of that. Tosfos is a parallel to this concept. Kamor bisar yosa devei Rebbe, concerning the tenth of the yeshiva Rebbe. Ratzalomer, which means, isur mimasha nishar. It's a tenth of what's left over. The case there is what's known as isur nechosim, that even though in the Torah, only the sons inherit the father and not the daughters. But there's a takana darbanan, that each daughter gets isur nechosim, or a tenth of the assets, in order to provide for her marriage needs after the death of the father. So the Gemara points out, quoting a Braisa in the name of Rebbe, that the first daughter to get married gets a tenth of the total of the assets. The second daughter to get married gets a tenth of the remainder, not of the original amount of the assets, and so on and so forth. The third, the remainder after the second one. That's what the Gemara concludes after asking if he has 10 daughters and one son, so the daughters are going to get everything, or a tenth for each daughter times 10 daughters, and then the son will get nothing. So the Gemara concludes that what Rebbe means is that the first daughter gets a tenth of the full assets, as we mentioned before, and the second daughter a tenth of the remainder. So that model is what Tosfos is proposing here concerning the decrease in the acuity of the eye vision. Another parallel to that, of course, is the various maestros and the trumos. First, you take truma, which made the Beninus, the average amount is 2%. So say you have 100 units, you're left with 98. Then you take a tenth of that from Maaser Rishon, which is 9.8. And then when you're taking Maaser Sheni, you take a tenth of what's left after that. It's not like most taxes work, where federal tax is taken from the gross amount, and the state tax is taken from the gross amount, and the Social Security is taken from the gross amount. So the same thing here is Tosfos's first answer, that the 1/500 of the vision referring to what's left. So in Achinami, each step removes part of the vision, but a person's not going to go blind because it's only 1/500th of what's left. Tosfos now challenge this understanding. Avladayim kasha, it's still difficult. The Maishna Psiya Rishona, then Otelos Yosem Nashneya. Why does the first step take less than the second step? Tosfos in this kasha is assuming that a Psiya Gasa should be an absolute damaging to the vision, not a relative damaging to the vision. How does the Psiya Gasa know how much vision you have? It takes away a certain absolute amount of the vision. So then it should be 1/500th of the original vision. So based on this, Tosfos backs out of his first answer and gives an alternate answer. Eliyahu Shlomar, Alono Talas El Psiya Rishona Dafka. Only the first big step takes away a 500th of the vision, and then subsequent steps don't do anything harmful. Mekan Ve'elech, Kev Nedosh Dosh. From here on in, Kev Nedosh Dosh was an expression the Gemara has elsewhere that once the person's already used to it, so it no longer harms them. Literally, once it's threshed out, it's already threshed out. This answer is somewhat difficult because the Gemara says in Sefer Shabbos, on the Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, Perek Vei Luksharim, the 15th Perek, that Psiya Gasa harms us and harms our vision, and it's able to be restored through the drinking of the Kiddush wine. So according to this, it sounds like it's only a one-time deal, but that Gemara makes it sound like every week we have Psiya Gasa damage to our vision, and we restore it through the various mitzvahs of Shabbos. Perhaps Tosfos will hold that the Psiya Gasa number one that caused the damage is when the vision is perfect. So on the first Shabbos when the vision is perfect, the Psiya Gasa number one will take away a 500th of the vision, and the subsequent steps that week will not. That can be restored by drinking the Shabbos wine. And the next week we're back to the original state of full vision, and then the first Psiya Gasa that week will take away a 500th as well. That's perhaps somewhat a little dochok, and hence we raise the question. So now Tosfos comes along and justifies the first answer. Inami, alternatively, Psiya Rishona Noteles Tvei, that the first step in D takes more, and the subsequent steps are going to take only 1/500th of what's remaining. And that which Tosfos asked earlier, why should that be? Each step should be in an absolute way damaging based on the original vision. So Tosfos now answers, Mishum, the Kolas Chalas Koshes. They're all beginnings are difficult, a famous expression. But here on the margin, a quote comes from the Mechilta that's quoted by Rashi in Parshas Yisro. So in this somewhat skula-oriented damage to the body, so the first diminishing of the vision as a result of the first step is more severe. Person should exit the city, b'chitov, meaning when there's light outside, as well as enter the city when there's light outside. So Tosfos comment, Pirashti b'perek kamed de psochim. I explained this in the first parak of psochim, and afbeis mat aleph, and here in the brackets they point out that Tosfos and Baba Kamed of Samach and Beis also explains that. Very briefly, Tosfos in those two places, as well as other places in Shas, mentioned on the margin of Tosfos and Baba Kama, Samach and Beis, deal with two topics. Number one, what is exactly the danger that we're trying to protect ourselves from by entering the city and exiting the city while it's daylight? Is it, as Rashi says over here, because of listim, robbers, and that you might fall into pits, or that you don't see at night? Rashi mentions a third shot that they'll suspect you of being a spy, perhaps, if you're not a resident of the city. So Tosfos discusses, based on the Gemara and Baba Kama primarily, that it sounds like the danger is none of that. That has to do with Mazikin, based on the Pasuk in Yetzias Mitzrayim. Atam lo seitzu ish mi pesach besavad haboker, as opposed to the pasuk that's quoted here, which is haboker or v'hanashim sholchu, concerning Yosef sending away the brothers in Mitzrayim. So Tosfos has different opinions as to what the primary danger is, or maybe it's all of the above. Tosfos maschil mishum mayona. Gemara gave two explanations as to why someone who travels on the road should eat very little. So one interpretation is Shem Ayona, as we're going to see, something to do with the stomach upset. And others explain with Shem Izoni that you shouldn't eat too much before you travel. So you should leave over a lot for the road because maybe you'll run out of food. So tell us explain, what does Mishum Ayona mean? Perish Mishum Shabnei Me'ayin Habikoshalu. That the stomach, Mayona Miloshin stomach, Bnei Me'ayin, that's going to cause upset. I think this they point out in modern medical science, that if you eat a lot, so the blood circulation slows to the area of the stomach. And when you're traveling and exercising, so then the circulation picks up, and that can cause stomach pain. Rashi gave an alternate interpretation, that mayona is in the language of mayon, that food in the stomach will swish around like a spring. Tosfos is going to the first shot of Rashi, that it's a reference to the Bnei Me'ayim.